look at Gennaro.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Oregon Board of Education of April 20th, 2021. We'll have the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence. Moment of silence this evening is for Skip McCullough, who was a biology teacher at Clay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have the roll call, please?
Certainly, Mr. Magich.
Here.
Mrs. Miller.
Here.
Mrs. Molnar.
Here.
And Mr. Zissou.
Here.
Please turn off all of your electronic devices so we don't get interrupted. We are going to skip the executive session this evening. We're going to move right down to a motion to adopt the agenda as written, please.
So moved.
Second. Second. Discussion. Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Oops, wait a second. Back up. I really moved. Motion to accept the agenda as written with the addendum. Want to make sure.
Including the addendum, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I make the motion? Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay. Mrs. Miller, Mrs. Molnar,
yes.
Mr. Magich?
Yes.
And Mr. Zissou?
No.
Okay, Mr. Rowe is not here yet, so we'll go through the public participation. Any public participation?
Nope, we have any cards. The cards are out, so I don't think anyone has given us a card. Now, I know he was coming into the building, Mr. Sandwich said. Oh, there he is, all right. So.
Take a moment and breathe.
So we're going to have just a brief presentation with Mike Rowe, Mr. Rowe, our architect for the Performing Arts Center. And I did just, to him, I did tell him I thought we might have an executive session. So I said, well, come a couple minutes late, we'll be in executive session, but that has changed. So we're going to jump right into, if that's okay. Mike, why don't you come on over to that little platform up there.
We'll do it on the fly.
Yeah, we're going to do it. That's right, you're ready, you told me.
Take your time.
So, what I have is, so let me back up. So anyways, it's been quite a while since we've had a public discussion on the idea of this Performing Arts Center or a renovation of our old warehouse, which is just adjacent to our admin building in Clay High School back here. But literally a couple years ago now, we started this idea to put together some drawings and some ideas about expanding the theater arts program at Clay High School, which in this case for this building would mean a dance studio, a recording studio, and like a change area, you know, some bathrooms and some change area, and then an additional like storage slash woodworking area kind of in the back. So obviously we were just kind of getting rolling on that idea, and Mike and his team put together these drawings and started, well, then COVID hit literally right there in that March, and the idea kind of stopped right there, but, or at least the movement forward stopped, but the idea is still alive. And so later on in the meeting, I'll be asking the board to approve the ability for us to go out to bid and receive bids in for this particular project. But I thought, because we haven't had really any public discussion about this in a while, I asked Mike to come in and answer any questions the board might have, just give kind of a brief overview of kind of where we're at this point and what needs to be done maybe to move forward to get the project rolling. So with that said, I might just ask Mike to kind of give a little history of what got us to this point. I can move this forward however you'd like it. So.
Oh, you're good. So this is just a color floor plan that we put together. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
January of 19. So. Obviously, the colors that are the specialty areas there, they're the orange color. As Hal mentioned, the, if you walk right in that front lobby space, that would be more of an open gathering space.
Is this, this is a remodel of an existing building?
Correct, right here. We got the old garage sitting basically between the administration building and the high school there. So it doesn't, it wouldn't look anything like it looks now. So repurposing that, obviously the structure that's there, the integrity is in pretty decent shape. There's some tuck pointing stuff on the corners, brickwork, a little bit of restoration work on that end. But I mean, the shell space itself is pretty structurally sound. So trying to rework with what is there. Most of the load bearing walls would be all intact. We got a couple of columns that are in the middle of the building that we're going to basically replace just because it gives the flexibility to open up the larger multi-use space there for what Hal talks about. It's the larger, basically orange space would be the multi-use. So that's where performances can take place, whether it be music, dance, whatever. So the smaller orange space on the right-hand side is then more the recording studio, flexible space. There's a small couple of recording studios, soundboards, that type of thing, so we can get into all the different performing arts. The green space is there, just supplemental. So you got a couple changing rooms, obviously, restrooms and so forth to support all those different spaces. And then just one single office up there in the top of the page there.
And just to add the green spaces in the locker rooms, if you know anything about the theater arts of Mr. Sneed, the kids are changing in his choir room now for all the performances. They don't have a place to go, a locker room or any real facility. This is right outside of the building. It is about as close as we could possibly get without adding on to the existing building. So there might be a little walk outside to get between changes, but that's part of the reason it's on this side and structured that way.
The one thing that's not shown on this plan, which we had worked out, was the backside of this building, putting out a small, basically, storage. It's not really storage, it's more of a building scenes and that type of thing, because there's no great spot to do that. I think what Tom's doing now is building on a stage and stuff. It's just, it's really tight. So what we do on the backside of this building is that ability to basically build those sets, build those scene work. And it's about 1,000 square foot. It's about as big as we can put on the backside and still maintain that loop around for the bus traffic to go, because they have a drop-off zone behind this building. So any questions about the floor plan? All right, great, keep going. And we did a couple renderings on here. Now, what the final material is on the outside, what we were trying to do in the beginning, it's obviously a red brick color that's on there now. Most of your campuses are not red, obviously. So we thought about trying to skin some of those areas with a brick that would try to tie back into the existing brick of your buildings. But we're gonna look at that a little bit more and see what the right answer is. But then clad some of the other spots with some cement work paneling just to kind of give it its own identity as far as performing arts and that type of thing. But all the existing overhead doors that you see there would be infilled with a storefront, so that actually, if you go to the next rendering, I think. So at night, when there's performing arts activities going on, you'd be able to see that would all be fluctuating out. So when you're driving down this road here, you'd be able to see what's going on, whether it's a dance performance or a performing, whatever, any kind. So it could be somebody there, a small band group meeting for that evening. Try to think what else is in this set. So here's that flexible space that we talked about, that larger room. So that would be, again, it could be a dance performance one night, the next night it could be, you know, some sort of choir event, whatever. It's the flexibility of that space. We purposely would leave it wide open, have the ability to have curtains closed and so forth for acoustic purposes.
And just so everybody knows, I mean, this obviously isn't going to take the place of the auditorium for large scale performances, yeah. But the idea of bringing in small kind of community based things and other ideas that I know Mr. Sneed has in his head about, you know, utilizing this space and the training that can go on in a space like this, we just don't have available to us moving forward. So obviously this multi-use space right now, it's kind of showing dance. I know, like, you look up at the lights, he wants, the idea behind it is to look very industrial, very modern, you know, kind of in, on the inside and eye-catching for kids, eye-catching for the community, you know, feels like something that's very artistic in a way that feels that way. And I know that's what Mr. Sneed hopes it feels like if this thing does come to fruition. So
would this follow the same use permit? that we do for the stadium and?
I think that's a great question. My vision is that we would certainly allow the community to access this, and we've had lots of discussions on that. We'd have to come up with, obviously, a permit type process.
How would it be any different than the different tiered levels we have currently in the district for usage of?
Oh, I just think the cost, we just have to see what would availability cost, those types of things. But again, it's coming up with a process that, you know, because we have like sports teams in there, but what I can see is, right, in the recording studio specifically, we had a lot of conversation about that. I mean, you know how many of us wanted to be, you know, in a band when we were in high school, or wanted to put a CD together or something like that, you know, and be discovered? Well, you know, I could see this studio down the road also playing that role for kids that maybe aren't even in theater arts or aren't even a part of something like that, but just have this dream, and now they have this, you know, studio right there available. So we would just have to work out a time.
Follow the same thing, employee, community, and you know.
Yeah, I'm open to that. Yeah, that's, we haven't had that specific of a discussion yet, but we could absolutely do that.
Will there be, I'll say, used as a classroom during the day for some of the classes?
Yeah, Mr. Sneed's office would be.
Okay, that small room, office up at the top of the.
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Up at the top.
Nope, over to the.
Nope, right here.
There's a blue box.
Blue box.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
This is the recording studio on this side. This is like a waiting room. This is where the equipment is. This is like a room where, let's say, that's the enclosed, right?
Correct.
Kind of like the enclosed room.
And a lot of times, so when you say recording studio, a lot of people have mixed thoughts of what that is. So we've got a lot of recording studios for like local libraries and so forth, where you'd be amazed at the usage on it. Just people doing podcasts or like teachers doing lesson plans, that type of thing. It's just, it's crazy how much use they get just for the flexibility of different groups, whether it's one person, two people, whatever. It's not always the vision of a big rock band. It's like,
right.
That's like one end of the spectrum, but the other end is, you know, a lot of times people are trying to, especially now virtual, so if they're doing a resume or a job search, whatever, having the ability to go into a room like that, and it's already all set up to do that virtual thing. So it, I mean, it's, like I said, we've done a lot for a lot of public use buildings that high usage right now.
Is there space for audience either standing or sitting in here?
So, yeah, so in the bigger room, that's where there would be more of a, like, a performance type activity gathering. We'd have, like, the ability to put seating and chairs and so forth in there. Now, on the right side where we have the music, that's that area right there. Actually, if you go down, there's a couple of renderings, I think, of that side. It's right there. So, like, that's the bigger spot in the front. So you're looking in to see what that small recording is, so people can be looking into what they're doing inside of that recording studio.
And it's going back up to the layout now.
So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the,
I'm in there.
In that yellow section in front.
This here.
Oh, yeah.
Off the side that. So
that's
that wall that separates the two. Correct. Would that be, is that possibility be a, the front one now?
This one here?
Yeah. Is that
right now
be a one that we set in so that you can add seating in that yellow area and kind of expand the seating area?
What we were doing there is basically create that corridor so that, let's say there's a function or a topic at a class going on in that bigger spot, you can still be able to float around to the other side of the recording studio and pass back and still be able to get through there. Now, in an event like, you know, say your parents are coming in for like a smaller band group or something that evening, sure, they can sit outside there, outside, but it's a glass area so that.
So it's not a tissue wall that can
no.
To expand all the space.
No, and part of that is to kind of try and contain as much of whatever's going on in there so it doesn't disrupt like the other side type scenario. That's kind of one of the curtains, I think, showing that like acoustical curtain brought over. Keep going. Now, there's the other one. That's that lobby. So when you walk in that front lobby, so that's kind of like a flexible space when you walk in the building where it gives an opportunity for any kind of awards that have been, you know, any kind of performing arts, just a display case. But then also that couch is just showing a reference there. But that's kind of like a smaller group meeting area too. It's just the flexibility of all those rooms, just having that chance to do that. And then obviously plus some sort of a donor area as well to work out those details.
With this being more of a, I'll say, a major remodel in the existing building, not a new build, how do you, what do you expect the increased building cost to affect us on that?
Well, it's obviously, it's more economical than a new construction. put that way, just because your infrastructure is there. There is some utilities left to feed back into the building just to support.
But for the building materials, price of plywood, wood, all that stuff, skyrocketing, would that impact this?
So it'll make us rethink how we design things. Like, for instance, what's in their building now? You got bar joists that are out there. Unfortunately, right now, bar joists are like 6 months out, so we have to rethink how we frame things. So it's just knowing what the industry is going on right now and how we frame it. There is no wood in the project, so thankfully lumber's tripled in cost. But on the metal side, I mean, you can probably be framing the rest of that out of concrete block, some skin veneers, and so forth. But construction cost is definitely an item that discussion. I've given Hal some sort of budgetary numbers of where I think the cost per square footage are going to go, just based on project we're bidding right now. But they're not, seems like they're exponentially going up.
Well, and I guess one of my hopes was that with the board approving the idea to go out to bid was to see if what we think reality is reality, right? So if we think this is a $1 million project and it comes in at 1.5, well, then we got to rethink what we're going to do. We'll just use round number. If we think this is a $1 million project and it comes in at, you know, 950 or 900 or whatever, then, you know, we're feeling pretty good about it, or you know, so without actually getting out. Now, would you mind, Mike, just maybe talking to the board about the timelines that
yes.
kind of roughly talked about?
So so our drawings right now, I mean, we've basically gotten in on the architecture side. We're maybe 30% through the architecture. Now, we still have all the engineering to chase back behind, but we'll be checking in. So, I mean, you still have to go through the schematic design phase, design development, construction documents. So we'll be checking in with an estimator, making sure that over design is still in budget, and figure out whatever we have to do to value engineer to make sure we're achieving that budget. So that when we do go out to day-to-day, we understand where our costs are and make sure we don't have any surprises. I don't want to surprise you as much as you do. I don't want to think this is a $1 million job, get a $1.5 million bid. That's just, it does nobody any good. So we're going to know that before we go out. Timeline, I mean, we're months out. I mean, probably before we finish the set of drawings, ideally it'd be nice to be out to bids by the end of summer, so that we get foundations in for the addition component, get everything basically in before winter conditions, all of the shells constructed. Like, it's the winter, the rest of the winter, we're all into the work, which they're looking for work for wintertime. You know, it's a great wintertime project. So that's the ideal timeline to try and hit.
And the reason that I'm bringing it to you, I guess, so early in the project is, first of all, make everyone aware that it's still kind of alive, but it also allows us to ask Mike to kind of move forward, because I don't want to ask Mike to move forward if something that it's not something we're actually going to go out to bid with. So, you know, obviously, I feel like we've kind of talked about what funding would be used for something like this. We have some donations. We've talked about the use of the sale of some of the land that we've recently sold. We've talked about using some PI funds or Medicaid reimbursement funds. So those are the large core areas that we've kind of discussed that we would use for this project. And I think it would be an awesome kickstart to the performing arts and just, you know, another project for Oregon to move forward with, you know? And that's, you know, if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. And I really feel like we've done some things for the athletic side of the house, and now I want to do something that supports the art side of the house, and then we'll see where we go next. And Mike's been wonderful. He's been available. His ideas are great. Really, he's, you know, obviously his kids go to this district. He lives in this district, and very supportive of all projects.
So now with like what we did with the trust box and naming, has anybody approached you about naming and donating for naming?
I think with the support of the board moving forward and we go with Mike, that's our next step. Absolutely, to reach back out for the fundraising that we were contemplating, so we can reduce as much of the cost to the district as possible. So I think we could absolutely have something like that happen. Yeah. We've got, like Mike said, if we're not going out to bid at the end of the summer and it's April now, we've got several months. And then really, you're not even starting any actual movement till what, October?
Yeah.
November, October.
You still gotta go through the bid process. We got basically three weeks to a month worth of bidding process, getting your permits and so forth. So just when you're going out, just gotta get through that process. But it'd be nice, like I said, ideally to have somebody on board by that October-ish period, so that any foundation work can be done for winter conditions that set in.
So any last questions you have? I don't want to keep us here all night, but I asked Mike just to kind of come be available and kind of put it out there. So I'm very excited about the idea of this. I really hope it comes to fruition. And I can see big, this is just me, but those Hollywood lights, you know, and we kind of on the top, and they're flashing out in place. Put a spotlight on Oregon. Well, Mike, thank you for coming out and rushing right up here. I appreciate it very much.
No problem.
Any last questions? We all good?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate the time.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, we will move on to the treasurer's report.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Mulder. I'm kind of muffled. I'm just going to take it off. I hope you don't mind here. I'll protect you. The first thing I'll point out is item C, there is no need for an updated appropriation measure this time. So we have an estimate of what ESSER 3 is, but not enough to make it on the appropriation. My report to the board is in front of you. First item is just going through what I always call the true cash report. And our revenues are up about 5.6% compared to last year at this time. The largest amount is due to a timing difference. We got our homestead rollback monies, about $900,000 or so, from the state of Ohio a month earlier than last year. So that's not going to maintain, but that's why it's up this year, this month. Again, we saw increased real estate tax collections due to utility property. And then the state of Ohio's worker comp, refunds, we had at least three of those, and that's been a contributing factor as well. On our expense side, we're pretty much as expected. Our purchase services and the supplies are down when students aren't in buildings and buses aren't on the road. That makes a difference. So I'll probably be adjusting those in the upcoming five-year forecast, which will be in May. So that's something to look forward to. I wanted to make sure everybody understood under new business, item C is actually coming from my offices. It's a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission. What that is once the state approves the valuations, and I have it attached to this report so you can see it, the actual resolution. Once the Lucas County submits the valuations and the effective millage rates to the state of Ohio, they come back and then they do a calculation of what they think that will collect. So that's what that is. It's an annual approval that we do every year. On the actual resolution, you can see, I wrote on it, so you can see which fund is which. The bond retirement fund, the 002, the 001 is general fund, and the 003 is for capital, or I'm sorry, the PI fund, which is capital projects. You can see, if you look at the resolution, the actual voted millage, which is 63.1, and the inside millage, which is 6 mils, for a total of 69.10 voted mils. Our actual effective millage rate is 43.996107 right now. And I use this for the 5 year just to compare my numbers, but this resolution is based on a calendar year because that's how they collect taxes. We are on a fiscal year. So I just want to explain that because I know there's some questions, but every year we go through this. And I'll talk more about this later, but or not later, next month. The taxpayers, it doesn't sound like much, but we are getting a 0.1 mil reduction in our collection. That's due to the rollback on the bond, because we finally had some increase in our valuations, and so the bond millage was able to roll back slightly. And that's even before we refinance, so that'll go back a little more. I just wanted people aware, this little yellow section, I wanted people aware of the ESSER funding allocations we've received or will be receiving. ESSER 1 was $444,000, ESSER 2 is $1.7 million, and ESSER 3, we're expected to get $3.9 million. That's our initial allocation. It's going to be interesting for us to use this money and preserve the general fund in the sense that we have to be careful how we spend it. Because I don't know how we would go back to the community asking for $6 million to replace it. So we'll have to be very careful on how we move forward and use it for. A lot of initial stuff has been used specifically for pandemic issues, supplies, additional staffing that required for cleaning and things like that. So these are just the allocations, and we can discuss them more later, but I wanted you to see how much they are.
I know, but that's the one wanted, is that off right now?
No, it's mostly spent. We used it a lot for the substitutes. We have a lot of substitutes.
But
it's all encumbered, right? I mean, we know where it's going.
Yes, well, no, it's not, no, it's not all encumbered. The CARES money, we received an additional amount that isn't listed on here, that for the CARES amount, that was $190,000, and we spent all but $2,100 of it. $2,100 is encumbered and will be spent, you know, in the coming weeks. This was mostly spent on, oh, forgive me, I feel like we had all kinds of subs for classified and certified when somebody was off for COVID for 2 weeks. We had to have a sub in there.
Which is the one we use with staff containment when all of them were let go?
Yes, yes.
So is the deadline on this one associated with these funds have to be used by?
Yes, the first one, I think, is the end of this year, actually. I have it in my folder.
September.
Yeah.
I know September of 22 is the ESSER 2, and I'm hearing, or 23, and I'm hearing ESSER 3 is 24.
Yeah, so we have some time on this, but I'm just pointing out how much we have, okay?
So I guess my question, Hal and I talked about this briefly when I met with him. At some point, we need, once we get the finalized ESSER 3, we need to kind of.
No, no question.
Know how we're going to spend it, what we're going to use it on, and, you know.
Precisely. Yeah, we just got this ESSER 3. We got the number Friday. And in that time, we got, what, at least two or three different numbers. So I'm not putting anything in stone until we get something real. But we are very sure, or at least it's in the CCIP, the 1.7 million. And I think you were shared, and we can share it with the entire board, what the plans are for that. There's some technology, you know, curriculum, things that, you know, we fall behind
and
with.
Just so the board knows, there's 14 areas that ESSER funds can be spent on. And so for each of these ESSER funds, we have to go into what we use is called a CCIP, which is our online. It's all connected to title funding. So this money is connected to our low-income students and title funding that we get. So it's all connected to that. So we have to go into the same system, and we have to allocate these funds in one of these, or, you know, throughout these 14 areas, which we have done already, just to get it, just to be able to draw down on any portions of it. So that's been completed. We're waiting on the state to approve the ESSER 2 funds as we speak right now. But a good portion, a good million of it is technology and software that we need, that has come at an awesome time, because many of our Google Chromebooks are in need. You're gonna see a motion on the addendum tonight that is, kind of referencing a little bit of where some of this funding will go. And also, a lot of our software is expiring. Usually we get, I want to say, is it 5-year licenses? 3 to 5 year licenses for our software?
Or
six. 6-year licenses? 6 years. So we'll be able to, I think, pay for a lot of these licenses. Otherwise, we would have had to come up with out of our general fund to pay for these.
What the other thing is,
that's what it stands for?
Oh, no.
So, because you said it's related to title funding, what is it? The CARES Act money was different. Is this still related to the whole COVID?
CARES Act was specifically for cleaning supplies and things like that. I did not bring that folder on yet. I'm going to let myself down here. But the ESSER is, isn't it for
Education Stabilization Fund. These are all federal dollars that are flowing through the state to the local.
Due to COVID. Pandemic.
The 3.9 is a direct relation to Biden's last.
The third
one point, whatever, two point trillion.
It's tied to a title funding.
Correct. That's how it flows through to us, at least in the state of Ohio. I don't know how other states.
But a large part of ESSER 2, the ESSER 2 is a little trickier because, truthfully, and I don't know what the ESSER 3 requirements will be, but ESSER 2 is truly to help you with circumstances that were created by COVID. For instance, the tutoring we're going to be doing, I think they've already started after school tutoring. We're able to pay for that because kids fell behind, obviously. And then there's going to be some summer tutoring. I think there was almost, I'm going to forgive the number, I think around $250,000 between transportation and tutoring. That's part of it. So we should provide that. I did not bring it tonight. But
yeah, we can do a full, I think,
that's fair.
We can do a full ESSER breakdown for the board. And,
yeah, I think we should.
We'll know more about the three, I hope.
yeah, we don't know much now.
But we have time, so I just want to let everybody know it's you know, when it's put in the CCIP, it gets approved by the state. It's, they're just numbers sitting in there. It can be adjusted.
Yeah.
The state allows that. You can go in and make adjustments to any one of those categories really at any time you want. So, you know, it's kind of like draft one. And then if a different need comes up, 6 months down the road, we can shift something out of something and be, so I just want the board to know it's one-time money, but it's not, has to be spent like in 6 months.
No, we've got time. I only wanted you to see the amounts, and I want to get it in our brain, and we're all, it's in everyone's brain, that this is one-time money, and if we're very careful how we spend it, and very, very well thought out, because this would be very hard to replace. This is about, you know, strategic.
One of the 14 categories allow for wages and salaries, or anything, if you can comment.
If you are, for instance, we did hire additional custodians through this period for the, excuse me, I keep wanting to say spraying, but it's the custodians that were,
disinfecting.
Disinfecting, I'm sorry, spraying.
Mr. Zawinski, there is the last category, which is the catch-all for the entire thing. For us, or two-way ways, if it's the same for us, we'll find out. So, other activities necessary to maintain the operations and continuity of service, LEA, and continuing to employ existing staff in the LEA. So, again, that, it doesn't specifically say anything about salaries, wages, or benefits.
No.
But it's a category that I'm sure it could fit under. But that is what I think Mrs. Ruth is trying to say, is that we just have to be very careful that the money is spent in a way that is sustainable moving forward.
And one of the things we're talking about, and other districts are as well, because we treasurers have been talking about this, one of the items we put in that other area is you think about how badly our sports were hit in terms of any form of income. We struggle anyways. But we still had to buy all the pay, all the officials, people like that. Now, those are purchased services for us. So we are allowed to transfer those costs into ESSER II. So that is where some of those monies are going, directly related to the pandemic, because we can only have 20% of the, you know, we haven't put anything for food service yet, but that area has been hit too. We have a great balance. We started out with an awesome balance, but you know, think about it. We aren't selling meals, you know, so it's, there's areas we're going to have to look at to help out because of the pandemic. So just wanted you to know the amount so we could get in our brains. I have a couple real quick items. The auditor's state, I just got notified yesterday, I guess, or Friday. They're going to put us out for annual audit out to bid for independent public auditors. I had the state audit last year, and then they're going to put us back out again. So I've done the initial form, and I'll let you know what happens as we get out of the bidding. And then the conversion process, we're going from the web to the state. I'm sorry, we're going from the current server base to the web state base. They're actually going to flip us over on April 23rd. I think that's Friday. So we'll be using both platforms for a while. So hopefully we won't get too bogged down. And it'll all be smooth. That's my hope. So that's my report, unless there are further questions. But I want you aware of those things.
May I have a motion to accept the treasurer's report, please?
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Zawinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Magich?
Yes.
And Mrs. Mulder?
Yes. Moving on to item 9, the consent agenda. And under B is the addendum, which is the resignation of a classified employee. Are there any items the member of the board wishes to pull from the regular meeting consent agenda? Hearing none, a motion is needed to vote on the consent agenda items. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second? I'll second it. Discussion?
Yeah, I got some questions. So I said, there's so much information in here, I want to kind of go through these real quick. How, and I'll give you sort of how. And the first one with the non-renewal of the long-term substitutes. Any of these going to be needed for another long-term assignment? That will kind of next year, they kind of
don't get into
it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Okay. Number two, can you just explain what number two, the non-renewal supplemental?
Yeah, each year we non-renew all supplemental contracts across the district in the spring. Under board policy, it's a one-year for all coaches, all sports.
Not just all equipment.
It's all school-based, sports-based, all, yeah, everything.
Okay. The resignation of these two that we'll be looking to replace, but they also will replace them in the future moving forward?
Yes.
Is the school psychologist that a new position?
No, we had a retirement. We have three school psychologists. We employ one retired. So Jacob will be replacing Mrs. Casale.
And all the administrative contracts are normal 2 to 4 years.
Correct.
Touch New York, just so I'm getting that.
Yeah. Now we have the same with the teacher, teacher limiteds and continuums.
Then B, can you just explain, okay, don't do it, it just looks a little confusing if you don't have a background on it.
Yeah, I mean, so Terry retired several years ago. She's our fantastic, awesome transportation supervisor. But she recently informed us she's going to officially retire, I guess. I don't even know the date. It's going to be in October. I knew it was the fall. But she is still working between the end of her contract and October. So we need to hire her. And we just kept it as the 1 year because it's really irrelevant rather than trying to tie the dates to August 1st. We were hired for the year, but she's... You're also accepting her resignation as of October 1st. Does that make sense? So
she needs a new contract to cover the...
Because she's always been on a 1 year since she's been retired, correct?
She was a retired
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And anything you want to say about the new food service?
Well, yeah, Julie's here. We haven't approved it yet. I was going to kind of wait.
That's fine.
We can do that at the end, yeah.
I think that's all the comments I had on that.
Yeah, and you'll see, you know, there's different categories for the, for example, Penny, Andrew, and Carol are under the non-union employees. So it's just how we separate them to make sure it's very clean and understandable. Yeah, April is always the big hiring, big month. You know, it's a big deal for a lot of people. And so appreciate the board's support on that.
Thank you.
So that was discussion. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Mag or Mrs. Mulder?
Yes.
Mr. Magich?
Yes.
And Mr. Zavisky?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Wait, real quick though, if you don't mind, Mrs. Mulder, I'm sorry. I want to introduce Julie to the board. So Julie Kalisic is going to be our new food service supervisor, taking over for Vicki Laurel. And so we wanted to welcome her tonight. She's coming to us from Rossford, where she's worked for quite a while in the same area, kind of combo, doing food service and transportation. So she had quite a role over there in Rossford, but we're very excited to have her. Her experience and knowledge and her personality, everything I've heard is nothing but fantastic. So we are very excited to have her on board. So Julie, do you want to say anything?
Oh, wow, this is pretty exciting. It wasn't anything I expected or saw coming, so it happened pretty quick. So I'm very, very excited for the new challenge. This is my husband, David. I was at Ross for 13 years. Prior to that, I was at Lake. And food service is my passion, not so much transportation. So I've been to be both for about 5 years. And so the excitement to go back to just food services, that's just awesome because there's so much that I haven't been able to do with doing both jobs. So I'm so excited about getting back into that. And,
well, you're
not
going to take on a transportation role also? You're not
going to
take on both
roles? No. I told Kevin and Adam that that would be
I tried, Mr. Zavisky. It didn't work out.
I promised I would help, though. If you need help, I promised I would help. So, yeah. And I don't even mind driving the roads. It's just we all know that we're looking at shortage of drivers across the country, and it's really hard because you can't just replace them with anybody. You have to replace them with somebody who's certified. So, yeah.
Feeding our kids is a big big deal, and obviously you know a lot about it. So thank you. Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you bet.
Okay, new business. Item A, North Point Educational Service Center contract. We need a motion to approve the year 2021 contract with North Point Educational Service Center and to approve the amount. It should be 2021.
It should be 2022. How many times do we look at this?
2022. And to approve the amount of $490,000 to be deducted from state foundation payments for the following programs: preschool teacher aid assigned to district, itinerant preschool services, preschool assessment OT, PT, APT services to the district, educational assistant interpreter services, and preschool supervisor services, and others. May I have a motion for that, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? This is something we do every year with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's, what you're actually approving is the deduction amount that, that Mrs. Fruth allows for them to, you know, the total contract for the whole year is closer to $800,000, a little over $800,000-some total. But what we do is kind of prepay. So what you're approving is that prepay piece for the most part.
Coming out over, that like prepay will start, well, kind of July 1st and come out divided by 26.
Yeah, over the course of the thing, so.
It just gives them some cash flow.
And then they do this for the rest.
Like when the additional billing comes, that at the end of the year, the.
Yeah, they do a true up at the end, so.
Yeah.
Or it's actually kind of quarterly, but then at the very end, they hit us with the end of it, yeah.
Why do we only do it with the $490, not the whole amount?
Because I want to owe them money. I don't want them owing me.
No, that's fine. Just curious why we do that. Thanks.
Okay, that was the discussion. May we have roll call, please?
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Zaviski?
Yes.
Mr. Bankich?
Yes.
And Mrs. Mulder?
Yes. Item B, athletic trips. We need a motion to approve the following high school athletic trips: wrestling to Orlando, Florida; boys soccer to Strongsville; volleyball to Cedar Point Convention Center; and volleyball every Thursday after July 4th, the Premier League in Long Beach. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion?
Question now on a couple of these. So any of these have anything to do with prepayments that go to another third party, like some of the band stuff we did that were canceled and we had
I'm not aware of that, but I don't know the specifics of each of these, so I can follow up that question.
And the two volleyball, is the convention center for a tournament? Is it more of a field trip?
Oh, I'm sure it's for a tournament.
So like the boys soccer, we would just, you know, as parents, we would have to take care of our own costs and expenses and those kind of things. But, you know, it wasn't something that was, like the band, you know, I get what you're saying with the touring company. It wasn't like that.
Yeah, the soccer says it's a tournament, the volleyball
right.
Doesn't say it's a tournament, so I was curious if there's something else besides the tournament.
I'm sure they're for tournaments.
And then volleyball, the premier, is, you know, so are we funding people to the team to premier?
Because that must be what we're doing, yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would...
Yeah, I don't have the specifics. We asked Mr. Beach, our AD, for the trips each spring, and he gives us the trips. So I guess I don't ask this. If you're not comfortable with it, then...
But is this what the issue that came up early this last season? We told them not to do stuff, had someone come in and make them pay, so now we're going to not make them pay and have them, and we're going to fuck
them
up.
I don't know. I don't know. So we can...
And I'd like to hold that one if we could.
Just number four?
Yeah, just number four. That's fine with me.
It's fine with me. I'll get you.
I just want to see if four is a way around what we brought up, or brought up earlier this past season, if this is a way around it, or just if it's tied in. No problem.
Okay, so the motion then reads wrestling to Orlando, boys soccer to Strongsville, and volleyball to Cedar Point Convention Center.
Correct?
Yep, and the last one is out or held.
And we're going to pull premier. May I have the roll call, please?
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Mankich?
Yes.
Mr. Zaviski?
Yes.
And Mrs. Mulder?
Yes. Item C is a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission. That's what Mrs. Bruce was speaking about. We need a motion to approve that resolution. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Zaviski?
Yes.
Mr. Mankich?
Yes.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
And Mrs. Mulder?
Yes. Item C is the sale of land. We need a motion to approve the sale of land. Resolution has been distributed to the board. May I have a motion?
So moved.
A second? Second. Under discussion, that's the 6 acres on Wynn Road to the City of Oregon. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I talked with that on Mike, us to, you know, probably before us, future planning, but sit down and look at our list of land that we have and kind of, you know, make a, have some sort of a plan on what we want to sell, what we could, we're willing to sell, what we want to hold back to, and just make sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and I know we were headed down that way several years ago. I'm in full support of that. And because I think obviously if there's some more land that people want, that we want to sell, we can, you know, use those funds. And anyway, I do know each year we do collect rent from the open land, so it's not completely idle. And so we would just have to weigh out the rent versus the one-time cash that we would get for
it. And there's also a portion of that scholarship that we have to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember from years ago that some of it is under conditions from what it was given to us.
Yeah, I think we have one plot of land that maybe, and I know there was some question as to, you know, who's still, you know, the family member, if there's still a family member that's connected to that or not. So we'll have to continue to do a little bit of research on that piece. But yeah, we can do that. I think that might be something that would be real good even for a finance committee, that we could bring it all within a finance committee meeting and kind of go through all that.
And we'll have to get a, I do think we need a legal, because when I've spoken with legal every time about the scholarship amount, they're very clear that has to stay in the scholarship.
I remember that from years ago.
Yeah.
There's no like clause, and do we have like the original, I'll say, contract or whatever it was with that, that does it fall off after 20, 50 years?
It's not clear like that. No, of course not. There's never anything that simple. So, I mean, I wish it did, but no.
Yeah, I remember going through that.
But just not to be Debbie Downer, just.
Okay, may I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Magich.
Yes.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yes.
And Mrs. Mulmer.
Yes. Item E is disposal of equipment and materials. 275 PC towers, 20 laptops, 1 amp system, 16 Elmos, 25 projectors, 18 touchscreen monitors, 133 ViewSonic monitors, 32 Apple TVs, 19 HP printers, and approximately 275 books.
There you go.
May I have a motion to dispose of those, please?
So moved.
A second? Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller.
Yes.
Mr. Magich.
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Mulmer.
Yes. Okay, donations. We have some good ones this evening. We need a motion to accept the following donation. Rich and Marion Lenhart of Southwestern Industries Track Machine Tools is donating 1 track lathe, 2 track K3 mini mills and accessories valued at $81,220 to our integrated machining and engineering program at Clay High School. This was made possible with the assistance and support of our local representative, Mr. Sean Ferguson. And we'll get to you in a second. The second donation is Anna Skinner, who donated hair color and styling products valued at $450 to the cosmetology program. May I have a motion to accept those donations, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Discussion? Would you like to add anything to that?
We could, yeah, before the vote, or?
Discussion, sure.
So we're pretty excited. I got an email on this a while back, and it was kind of came out of the blue. I had no idea. So I don't know, Tony Spolino is our teacher. Would you mind coming up, bringing Sean, and just maybe Sean, maybe you give a little bit of the background for the owners of this company that made the donation, and just a brief description of maybe the what kids can do with these particular devices, and anything else you want to share.
Sure.
This is awesome. We can't believe the amount.
All right. First of all, yes, I got a call March 17th. That was from California. It was from Rich Leonard. And he said that he and his wife had a program where they donated equipment to schools and programs like the one that we have. And that he got a letter from Sean Ferguson explaining why our school and our program would be one that would was well received for equipment like this. And then he went on to tell me that he was donating 2 mils and it laid. And these are not just, you know, you run the mill, mills. But what they can do is they can be programmed. So they're computer numerical control, and same with the lathe. So the students can run manually and program them. And I'll let Sean say a little bit more about those. But these are machines that are brand new, first of all. They're right out of the factory. And this equipment is out at the shops where our students go to work yet. So, you know, this is technology that is out there right now. So this is great. And without Sean writing this letter and, you know, letting them know about our program, you know, this would have never happened. So I'm really grateful to Sean here for doing that. So.
Yes, as are we.
So my name's Sean Ferguson. Evening, everyone. About 2 months ago, I got an email from Rich and Marion asking for suggestions about our donation program that we sometimes do. I cover Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, and as soon as I heard what the machines were and the general premise of this donation program for this year, I couldn't think of anybody other than Tony at Clay High School. I've known Tony for a good 10 years now. He has a superior program. And it's hard not to find a student around this general Ohio area that doesn't either know Tony or know someone that knows Tony or has gone through his program or gone through his program themselves. So it's a no-brainer. The thing about me is I did 10 minutes worth of work. All the hard work over these last decades has been done by Tony and the administration here. I filled out 2 pieces of paperwork, talked to Rich and Marion for about 4 minutes, and that's my contribution. It's all Tony and everyone here. So if you could give yourselves a round of applause, especially Tony. It was an easy sell for Rich and Marion. And Rich is a hard sell, but it was an easy sell. All I had to do was send them a couple website links for Tony's program, a little write-up. It was a good 10 minutes worth of work. It made my job really easy.
Yeah.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you, because the more students that graduate from his program, the easier it is for me to sell ProTracks, track machine tools, into the shops. It's easy to sell someone a $50,000 machine tool, tell them all the cool things it's going to do, but you got to have someone stand in front of them. And that's what we need desperately. And Tony's been creating excellent, excellent apprentices and machine tool operators and machinists, and it was an easy sell for Rich. Now, the machines themselves, like Tony was saying, they're hybrid CNC machines. If you walk into Tony's shop right now, every single one of those machines, except for maybe 2 of them, have handles. And you grab onto those handles and you make the piece you want to do. That's great if you're making a very simple part or something that you can do very simply. When you need to say, make something more complex, you let the machine do the work. So we can do both of the best of both worlds here with all the equipment that we're going to provide to Clay High School. So that's the general premise. And am I missing anything?
When will the equipment arrive? Is that something that...
Late summer?
Yes. It's going to be shipped out sometime in June.
Yeah. So let's say we've got them placed sometime, let's say July, before the beginning of fall. Tony's well versed in ProTracks already. The only thing I've got to do is train him up a little bit on how our lathe works. But knowing Tony, he's probably going to get it figured out before I even get from Michigan to the Ohio border, before I, you know, step out of the car. So,
Tony, well, you got room for that? You got to do some configuration.
We have to be constant. We have some lathes right now. 2 of them are from the 1960s that we're going to put out on eBay or dispose. I have 1 lathe from 1952. But I'm going to hang on to that one. The other 2 lathes are one's from 1978, the other one from 1984. So this is a well, you know, this is we needed this. So I'm not complaining about the machines we've had because they've been good for our students. But it was time that we now get some lathes that have the ability to program them as well.
Well, please, pass along our thanks to Marion Leonard and Rich Leonard. And if there's any way that I could have a conversation with them and we could maybe set something up like that, that would be wonderful to give our thanks to them. But Thank you for coming tonight, Sean, and Tony, congratulations on the new tools, and we look forward to seeing the kids use them. So thank you for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
We're very, very grateful.
I know they'll be in well placed.
You have the roll call then?
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Magich?
Yes.
Mr. Zavisky?
Yes.
Mrs. Mulmar?
Yes. Item G, administrative and supervisor pay and benefits package. We need a motion to approve the following. Administrative pay and benefits effective August 1st, 2020 through July 31st, 2022. Supervisor pay and benefits package effective August 1st, 2020 through July 31st, 2022. And item three, to make whole supervisors, administrators whose pay and benefits were previously frozen by renewing the administrative pay and benefits plan effective retroactively from August 1st, 2020 through July 31st, 2022, and by authorizing payments of the retroactive portion to former administrators and supervisors as long as they would have qualified for the pay and benefits under the plan while employed, and they receive no more than a retroactive amount owed for the time they were actually employed from August 1st, 2020 until the effective date of their separation from the district. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
May I have a second? I'll second. Discussion?
Yeah, Al, on one and two,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of retro back to this school year and then covers next school year,
right, just the 2 years in. Typically, just so the board kind of remembers, because the COVID's thrown us all off a little bit, and this is a direct result of kind of COVID throwing our typical process off. At the time of negotiations with both OCFT and OPSI, we typically do an update or change, if there are any, to the administrative pay for the same time period, which is often 3 years, not every time, but often 3 years. Well, we had the 3 year contracts ratified by both of those organizations, but we only did a 1 year administrative period back in, it would have been what, the 1920 school year.
And so that's when we split the administrative from the
correct
teacher.
Correct.
Contract.
Correct. Okay. Correct. That's why we did the one year, and we were going to research a little bit and do a little bit more about talking about ranges and so forth. So what we're presenting to you is this current year, because we're being paid under a certain way, but the real part is what Mr. Savitsky said is I'm requesting, I guess, from the board to retroactively provide the increases that I guess typically would have happened. We took a freeze as an administrator team when it was very uncertain about our financial situation going into COVID. And a lot has changed in a positive way, in a great way, for the district since that time. And so I feel, a sense to, or an obligation, and I know how hard our administrators have worked throughout this process, probably harder than they've ever worked in their life going through COVID. So again, there's really nothing structurally different within these packages, except it's retroactive for this current year and then for next year, with the increases the same as both OCFT and OPC.
So for the 21-22 school year, what's the rate?
2.75. Yeah,
2.75. Okay, and that's really the things that structurally the same. We didn't do really any changes to the any of the benefits, and has that language where
The benefits all remain the same. I mean, there's really nothing that changes. I mean, in that, and so the only real thing is that we have to approve it at some point, because Jane can't pay anybody without the approval of the benefits and that packages. But the key part is the retroactive part, that, you know, here we sit in April, but going back through the course of the year, if you will, the 2.85 for this current year.
And then just that we separate one and two as a vote and three as a separate vote.
And just so you know, on three, that was, we had an administrator retire. And so in order to
legally give her
legally give that individual when she was here, the amounts. That's why three is on there. Does that make sense? Okay.
That's the only reason, yeah.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Mular?
Yes.
Mr. Magich?
So moved. A second? A second. Discussion?
Yeah. So, kind of first I'm hearing about this. I know we approved some back in April-ish. Those I got delayed, I didn't know what they were delayed.
Yeah, yeah. So.
The second step of that?
Yeah, this is another phase in, if you will, of our. So we've been having a lot of discussion about what's the right way to move forward with Chromebooks. You know what I mean? There's several factors that go in with these here Chromebooks that I'm learning about. Ms. Schiavone's here, so if I say it wrong, tell me. But the bottom line is there's the Chromebook itself, right? The Chromebook itself's lifespan's usually pretty good, pretty long, probably longer than the software life. What the problem is that Chromebooks operating systems are only supported for so long. So the machine may keep going, but the operating system that it uses stops. Well, the problem is when that operating system is no longer supported, but yet the state testing requirements keep pushing forward with the future or the newer operating systems, we're in a pickle. Where we have these Chromebook devices that are usable and workable for kids and everything, but we run into upgrades and operating systems. So we're trying to balance that out. We also know our Facet Chromebooks are getting older. That's the 600. 5 years. Mm-hmm. Over, yeah. So there, you know, that's where if we just wanted to replace the Facet Chromebooks right now, that's the 200,000. But do we look at all the district right now and upgrading or going through a lease process where we can, I don't know, have them turned over more often and the operating systems would be, but we know we have to do something this year. And this part of this money is what we expect to use some of those ESSER II funds for, the technology piece. So I don't know if that explains it. We haven't nailed down which is the best way to go yet, lease or buy.
The Facet one, which is next up 600, but where's the 18? Did we just replace a bunch?
No, it's okay. The way I understand it, it's like we have to worry about was it elementary?
Elementary. Second grade through eighth grade.
Yeah. And the whole thing is like when I've been talking to Donna, it's like we kind of want to get on a schedule so that we know how much to budget every year and we're slowly on a replacement cycle.
So yeah. 1800, 600 each year for 3 years?
Or five or four, we'd have to look at what that amount. But what Dawn's saying is, it's not going to be any more than that 625 over the course of up to 5 years. So split.
Yeah.
No
like
more.
200,000 a year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess two more questions on that. Is the supply freed up now? Where if we order them, we'll get them and won't be tied up, and parents won't be expecting them and not get them.
There are some brands that are still a little delayed and other brands that are arriving within a week. So it does vary from company to company. and processor to processor.
Does this have any trade-in value that would reduce our out-of-pocket?
Negligible.
Okay. And the one,
but we will try.
The ones we did in April, whenever that was, were those, we bought those or leased those?
We bought those outright.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the next question, final, is why would we bring this to the board now? I don't know which way. Why not continue to do the homework and bring the fast and concrete plan forward and maximize?
Yep. So it's, I guess, it's the question of here's what we don't know. We don't know until August what operating system the state is going to say. And so we're at a point where that operating system could be, we could be in trouble with the current machines that we have. So it's a risk. We've had that discussion. Is now the right time or is next year the right time? So to answer the question, it's a risk if we don't.
I'm not saying that, but you don't know which way you want to go. So why would I mean, the two different, you spend authorizing $200,000 or $625,000. Some kind of two separate things. So why wouldn't we just wait till you guys decide if we want to purchase the 200 or enter into the lease?
Timing.
Go that option.
Right. So Don?
It allows us to, I can tell you that the lease is probably the most logical way to go. It gives our district a consistent model across the board, which gives us a lot more flexibility from grade levels and spares and things like that, as opposed to waiting and buying in chunks, so that we may have a different model next year. So now we enter, you know, an additional model. And it also, it allows us to be prepared not just for this year, but the following years down the line. The purchase is an option, but the lease is probably, if you're asking for a decision, the lease is probably
approve both and have you guys, you know, why not do the homework and come back with a concrete plan of which one is the best?
I don't think it's a matter of doing the homework. They're both equal. It doesn't matter necessarily whether we go with 600 now or 1800 now, because if we only go 600 now, we're going to have to do 1200 next year.
So what's the additional 25,000 for?
Generally, when you enter into a lease, there's a little bit of a processing finance charge.
Lower than that based on current interest rates, but we'll find out that later.
Right. Right.
Right. What is the like that we do 3 to 5 years? What's kind of the plan? That, you know, we did was high school. Like I know my freshman got one. We did high school. This is fast. So is the 1800 kind of then the next 3 years? We do year one fast, then year two and three is the elementary refresh. Is that kind of like the, I guess your schedule of replacement?
Yeah, yeah. What it is, Mr. Zavisky, is that the devices in grades 2 through 8 currently have an expiration date, if you will, like how Mr. Gregory was explaining, of summer of 2022. Okay, so what that means is that in August of 2022, the state could make those not a viable device to use for state testing, though they would be perfect to use for everyday classroom use. The 1800 is 7, 8, 600 approximately, 5, 6, 600 to 4, 600. Okay, so that's what makes up the 1800, and the K2 devices are or K1 devices are slightly different, and they don't quote expire until 2024, I believe.
Like some of the ones we bought.
They are the touchscreen ones that the kindergarten, right. It's first grade use.
At some point, we'll be able to flow those down to the one that, you know, the K2 once we start to get the resources.
So they, right, so the K2.
We can float those down as they get older.
I don't know about floating them down, but we would refresh the K1 devices when necessary. And like Mrs. Fruth said, it gives us that opportunity all of this gives us that opportunity to begin to create, you know, almost a 5 or 6 year logical rotation where we don't have to have these questions down the line. It's just kind of an ebb and flow, and we're prepared and we're in a position to get us to that point with this.
Going back and forth between, you know, the MacBook, the laptop, the Chromebook, buy, lease, so we couldn't know that we're going, you know, we're looking at a specific model and kind of stick with that. So one, the parents and kids know what to expect as far as the device.
That's definitely a benefit of entering into the lease, because not only from that perspective, but also from our perspective, from a support and spare parts and repairs and all of that stuff. It really does benefit us to jump now and enter into the lease. And again, the number of years basically just says, takes that 625 and divide it by 3, divide it by 4, divide it by 5, you know, and looking at what's going to make the best logical plan to then be ready when we need to do those K1 devices. And then when we need to do the Clay High School devices, thinking even down that far.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Billy. Any further questions?
Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Mohan?
Yes.
Mr. Mandich?
Yes.
And Mr. Zelinski?
Yes.
Okay, we are down to the superintendent's report.
Thank you. Mrs. Mohan. Well, don't have too long of a report here, but there's a little thing there that says Oregon City Schools currently complying with the standards of Senate Bill 210 governing the types of food and beverages sold. So that's just something that we have to acknowledge. So my report, yeah, you probably know more about that than I do. I guess I just want to open with thanking all of you for the support tonight and all the time, but tonight specifically for the support for our district administrators, myself, Jane, and our entire team. So I really appreciate, your support of me in particular. And I look forward, obviously, the next several years to continuing to support the district move forward. I'm hoping it's not a year like this past. I'm hoping we can put that behind us and focus on the things that we were focusing on moving forward. So again, I sincerely thank you for your support over all these years for me and for the entire administrative team. So thank you very much.
And on that, we talked about this, but your plan is coming soon to kind of resurrect the strategic plan.
Yes, absolutely.
And a succession plan, like I said, as you wind out, you know, the end of your contract.
I think, obviously there's always a point in time and change in districts. You know, leadership and board and that type of thing. And I think in the course of the next several years, again, there's going to be some of us that may choose to move on or retire or change and do types of things like that, along with board members that may change. Obviously, we want to welcome Paul tonight. You know, it's his first board meeting, and we have board elections in November. So I think it's a very good time to start really having some strong conversations about, you know, long-term planning. Certainly 3, 4, 5 years out, looking at a strategic plan and seeing, you know, making sure that no matter what happens, you know, the district doesn't skip a beat. So
we had talked about that, and we decided it would be better to do the strategic plan starting in January. We start looking at it now, but make a plan to have a meeting in January with all the boards, maybe take a Saturday and put a new strategic plan in place. Start looking now, start thinking, but actually do that strategic plan in January, February, after we see who's on board for the next budget.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, we're in a great position to start looking forward. And once we know, and again, you know, this board is as good as, you know, you guys are great. I'm like, we can start the process, but just knowing that probably the official process could start next January when elections happen. And I hope all of you back. That would be fantastic because, you know, continuity is what keeps districts moving forward. Just moving forward, not that I want to talk about COVID all night, but just to give you an update on the stats. Here's the stats. It's felt like we've had a little bit of a spike here in the last couple of weeks, but when you look at the numbers, they're not, I mean, when you're dealing with it day to day, it feels overwhelming, but the numbers are the numbers.
So if you look, as of today, we've had 239 total positive cases between staff and students. All right, we had one more at the end of today. I didn't put in, so actually that number is 240. But if you look at that chart that I have there, it kind of shows how many by month. So you can see the spikes for students were in November and January. And now we've got a kind of a higher number here in April at 23 so far, and we still, you know, have several weeks here, a couple weeks to go. So I'm assuming that that's going to continue to go up a tad here by the end of the year. So we're definitely seeing our kids, primarily at Facet and Clay. Got a few at the elementary levels, but primarily at Facet and Clay. So, you know, again, we're working through all those situations. We are changing the quarantine from 14 to 10 days. That started this week. So there were some families kind of caught between the 14 and the 10, you know, not sure what to do just because of timing. But the majority of the districts in Lucas County have made that switch here in the last probably 2 to 3 weeks, which is a big deal when you're talking about keeping kids out of school or keeping kids out of their school or keeping kids out of anything that they're interested in doing.
10 calendar days, not school days.
Correct, yes. So anyways, you can see the numbers there. 15% of our staff have been, you know, a positive over the course, but we haven't had many staff, as you can see, for the last 3 months. Only one in February, one in March, and one in April. So
vaccinated?
Oh, it's at least at 85%, and that's when I counted, but I believe it's higher because some people did it outside the K-12 process, and I have not reached out to the individuals. You know, I just don't feel that's my place to do so. But we're definitely at 85% of the staff.
How successful was the turnout for the clinic?
Yeah, the turnout for clinics everywhere is way down. I had a lot of conversations that particular night. We had hosted a clay pod last Thursday, I believe it was. And we'll have another one 3 weeks from last Thursday for the second shot. But we had, I was told, 375 scheduled appointments out of a possible 1,000. So, and those weren't all our students. So I can't say exactly how many students we heard, but it wasn't over 100. Because it was then opened up to the community and a lot of community members came. So I don't know, you know, we're at the hard part. The people who wanted the vaccination have gotten it. The people that are unsure or say no, are the ones that, you know, aren't going to get it, or we're still going to have to try to convince to you. You know, when you look at just our numbers, and if you equate the numbers being very, very low in positives to the vaccinations, right, it almost feels like it's pretty coincidental that all of a sudden there's no more positives in our staff after vaccinations. So obviously, in my mind, vaccinations work. So I would encourage the public, you know, I get backlash when I say get the shot. I get backlash when I say don't get the shot. But I feel personally that it is a benefit. And when I look at our own particular numbers here within our Oregon City Schools for our staff, it's paid dividends. Any questions on the COVID? Okay. Just a quick kindergarten information webinar is tomorrow night at 6. And the only reason I bring that up is I just want to have all of us go out and try to encourage as many families that you know to enroll their kids. We want to get our numbers up. The kindergarten class we have this year is the lowest we've had ever, around 210 kids. So we hope that this year is going to be higher. I was talking to our enrollment secretary this morning, and she has a feeling it's going to be higher, just based on the call. You know, it's gut feeling. There's no solid numbers on that, but that's a good thing. We want to get our kids, and we want to get those numbers up.
How on that with some of the stuff the city's doing with the development of stuff and the YMCA and the town center with the apartments and housing. In that area, if we have, you know, and they get that filled, some families, but we have, you know, where I have not sure where, what district, elementary district, that area is in. Probably Coy.
I'm assuming that's Coy on that side of the bar.
We are
absolutely able to take on more kids. We've been through the course of probably the last 10 years, adjusting our staffing at the elementary levels to where pretty much Coy and Jerusalem are at three teachers per grade level. We have like one mobile group, I think, and each star still at four every grade level. But we're down at least six, probably five or six, you know, teachers, if you will, from you know, enrollment purposes over the course of the year. So we can certainly absorb those. We have the classrooms. We have the physical
Wind.
Space. I'm not worried about the physical
space. Yeah, we have
space.
Wind also.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess we ever needed Wind, too.
But on McCoy, we wouldn't have to help move people out of school from that. That we should be able to.
No, because if you look at our enrollment, we still have, except for a couple of grade levels, we still have quite a few openings within each grade level. So we'll be able to absorb that. I feel very confident. And actually, I'm hoping for that. I would love that problem. You know? I want to stabilize and not be a declining enrollment district, but be at least a stabilized and possibly a growing district again. That would be fantastic.
Because also, if we really
grow
then, then you won't have room for
enrollment.
I mean, I'm not saying
yeah.
that would happen, but
yeah.
it could.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. That's a, that's another. Our typical enrollment is majority of young kids in kindergarten, and then sprinkling all the way up. And it looks like that would be done this year. All right, so NLL. This is a big deal tonight. There's a lot of people waiting for these votes to happen. So again, thank you. I just kind of want to read a statement that I want to kind of read for the public. I want to thank you to the Board of Education for the support in joining the Northern Lakes League, NLL, beginning in the 23-24 school year. If it's earlier, wonderful. You know, if that were to happen, we'd be ecstatic. We are one of four new schools who will be joining this premier sports league in the state of Ohio, including Whitmer High School, Findlay High School, and Fremont Ross High School. This is a very good move for Clay, allowing for a strong competitive environment, limited travel, and excellent fan experiences. And I just want to kind of emphasize that. Going around to the NLL schools, I'm very excited about what we're going to experience new and different for our kids and for our fans. The NLL schools have outstanding school traditions. They have strong academics, and they have influential school leaders. I want to personally thank the NLL Commissioner, Richard Brown, the NLL high school principals, who actually are the ones who do the vote for the invites, certainly the athletic directors and the superintendents for having faith in Clay High School and Oregon City Schools and inviting us to be part of the NLL. So this is something that since I have been here for, certainly as superintendent, but even as assistant superintendent since the track was formed, there's been conversations out and about, and have it to happen kind of in a pretty quick fashion, right? There was a lot of talk, and all of a sudden there was a lot of talk. And within a few months' time period, it came together. Just so you know how the divisions line up, there are, at least at this point in time, there are planned to be two divisions, a large and a small. We are planning to be in the small division at this time. Mr. Beach and Mr. Jersey will be participating in the NLL planning meetings moving forward. So they're going to begin to get involved and be part of the decision-making process moving forward. Again, we will be officially notifying the track after this vote tonight of Clay's departure here shortly. And just if you just kind of scroll in the back of the page there, there's the division. So right now, as it stands, the large division would be Whitmer, Perrysburg, Findlay, Anthony Wayne, Savannah Northview, and Fremont Ross. And then smaller division would be Springfield, Clay, Savannah Southview, Bowling Green, and Napoleon. And you see there's an unbalanced leak there. And I think there's hope that there might be another small school that possibly comes in at some point. Not really have no inside knowledge on that, but I think there's still talk about some other leagues and some other changes that could happen. Again, you know, until it happens, you don't know. But that's where it's shaking out right now. So again, thank you for the support. Ever since the talk started, I knew if we got an invite that the board would support that move, and I know many of our coaches and community members are excited about that. So that's my report. If there's any questions.
Any questions from anyone? Okay, thank you. Yeah. Great. Under old business, A, policies. The policies that were presented for the first reading in March are now being recommended for adoption. So I need a motion to adopt those policies.
So moved.
A second. I'll second. Discussion. Roll call. Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mrs. Molnar?
Yes. Mr. Mackish?
Yes.
And Mr. Savisky?
No.
Board committee reports, findings. We had no meeting on Friday, so. Capital improvement, that was key. Policy personnel, that policy that you just adopted this evening, and thank you for doing that. Thank you.
All right, you guys hit on pretty much what I had. What Jane said, too, that after-school tutoring hasn't started, so that's good. But then a follow-up on the kindergarten night, I did have one parent ask me, what if I'm gonna miss this meeting? And Jen did say that it would be recorded and posted to the website. So if anyone misses that timeframe, it will be recorded and they can revisit that.
Yeah, and just in case there's any questions, you know, for years and years and years, we did an in-person kindergarten information night, and parents actually signed up for a scheduled appointment to come in and register or whatever, and COVID kind of, you know, put that by the wayside. We actually found we liked the process, and so we're gonna push out the information that people want, they can see in their own homes, and then get an appointment to schedule, and it's really the same thing. And so it worked out pretty well last year, and so I think we may continue this kind of rollout moving forward.
Okay, our liaison legislative is Mike, and he's not here, student achievement on the report. Okay, board discussion, I would like to welcome Mr. Mackish.
We're very happy to have you.
Thank you for taking the appointment.
You will either enjoy it or.
Not so much.
But we're glad to have you. Anyone else?
You know what, I can go either way. It's getting late and you're speaking. I have a couple, if we could go into executive session for maybe 10 minutes, max. I have a couple things I could like to share, but it doesn't have to happen. I mean, I don't want to agree with that. Let's just not, I want to head to the board.
Okay.
For some of the.
Then we will skip that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Next regular meeting is May 18th, right here in the community center. Anything else for further discussion? Okay, we need a motion for adjournment. So move. Further discussion?
Roll call.
Mrs. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Mackish?
Yes.
Mrs. Savisky?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Mulder?
Yes, and thank you for coming.
That's okay.